All right, good morning. Super excited to see everyone today and to be joining with everyone. I pray that your time in your small group studies was of benefit and use for you today. As we continue to walk through difficult questions that we as Christians receive, I think today's lesson is probably the question that you get asked most. And I think it's the question that you find the most difficult for yourself to process, and that is suffering. Why do we suffer? What is the purpose of suffering? And so I pray that you were able to grow in that and to get a deeper understanding of what that is and what God is accomplishing through that suffering. If you have your bulletin, let's take a look at some announcements here. Big news, and I'm sure no one needs to be reminded of this. All of you have noses, but today the youth fundraiser meal, we're having a lunch directly following church with the proceeds to go to the youth and their youth camp and other things that they do throughout the year. And so we would love to invite you to join us for lunch, soup and chili and lots of desserts. I saw lots and lots of desserts out there, so if you have a sweet tooth, this is the place to be today, right? So we encourage you to join with us in that. Also tonight, and now this is going to, we're pivoting here a little bit on our, it says there in your bulletin, it says trunk or treat. I've jokingly called it church retreat because of the 90% chance of rain tonight. It's just that an outside event is just not going to happen. So what we're going to do, and there's a sign-up sheet out there in the Hallelujah Hallway, is what we're going to do is we're going to ask families to decorate doors inside the church. And so our visitors and even our regular attenders will then do a trunk or treat through the church and go to different rooms and different doors and receive their candy. And then we'll have hot dogs and fellowship time afterward in the fellowship hall. So if you were planning to decorate a car tonight, right, we're just asking you to pivot and decorate a door with whatever you're going to do, and then there's a sign-up sheet out there. Pick whichever door you want to do, right? And so still come, still invite people. We're still going to be here. We're going to do that, but there's not going to be a hayride. It's just 90% chance of rain. It's just not going to work out for us tonight. So we know that the Lord knows what he's doing, and the Lord is sovereign, and the Lord knows we need rain, and so we're thankful for the rain, and we'll just change what we do. We'll change how we do our trunk or treat, and that's okay, right? Also, November 5th, that's our joint worship with the Mountain of Blessings Church right down the road. We encourage you to come and join us for that. And then also, we're going to have a meal afterwards for that as well. So if you're wanting to visit and try out some churches, hey, man, you picked the right two Sundays to go to do that, right? So we're going to have meals the next two Sundays in a row. November 5th. Now, a lot of you, and I'm not calling anybody's names out, I will. I'm not too crazy to do that, but we're going to have a Christmas choir. We're going to start practicing, and a lot of you need to sign up for this because a lot of you sing really well. I've heard you. If I can sign up for it and I can't even play a radio, you for sure can sign up for it, right? So we would love to have you join us. We're going to do a special, what do they call that, katana? What is that called? That's a sword, right? What do they call that? Katana? Whatever it's called, right? We're going to do that for church, right? These are the questions I should ask before I start talking, right? But we're going to do that, and, you know, we would love to have you participate in that. I know a couple of you have asked about a choir, and so we're going to try it out. We'll see how it goes, right? Also, you'll see there November 15th is the day the shoeboxes are going to be returned. I pray that you've been praying over the shoeboxes and packing shoeboxes and getting ready for that, but those needed to be returned by November 15th. Also, a quick reminder, as you saw, there's a fundraiser out there for t-shirts and sweatshirts. Today is the last day to sign up for that for the kids, right? If you want to, the proceeds of that go to the kids program. If you want to get a t-shirt, you know what it's out there. You can see what it looks like. Short sleeve, long sleeve, or sweatshirt. Today is the day you need to sign up. They had to pay today too, Mandy?
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. Yeah. So if you like a shirt, get a shirt. If you want two shirts, get two shirts. Whatever you want. Right? That's out there, but today is the day. All right? You also see there December 10th, We're going to have Stellar Christmas. December 17th is going to be the Christmas play. The kids are already practicing that on Wednesday night. If you want your kids to be part of the Christmas play, Wednesday night's the night to be here to practice that, right? So encourage them to do that. One of the things that we like to do here at Dallasburg is we like to celebrate our members. We got a couple to celebrate today. The first one, I believe, is Mason. There she is on the screen. The second one is Joyce. You know, one of the things, and then the last one is Rita there. One of the things I wanted to say about Joyce is you see that picture? Always serving. Always in some type of ministry serving. Just an amazing testimony in her life. And then Rita there, what a beautiful picture. Rita's like a special photographer did that. Very good, right? And we just celebrate these people. We're just so happy. You know, we talk about all the time, and I think it's a catchphrase that people talk about, well, we're a family. But, man, that's something we stress really hard here at Dallasburg, is that we truly are a family. I told this just to someone the other day, and, you know, I'm not sure this is a great thing, but the truth is this, is I'm closer to my church family than I am a lot of my biological family. And that's because we share a lot of traits that are way more similar than my biological family. I spend more time with you than I do them. And, you know, to be quite honest with you, I think that's a very biblical thing. Now, ideally, your biological family would be also part of your church family. But for a lot of us, that's not our testimony. But we take it very serious here, and we want to celebrate our church family, right? What we're going to do now, we also take very serious, is we're going to begin to lift up songs of praise to the Lord. Lucy's going to come and lead us in that. And what I pray for us right now is that we're able to understand the purpose of this time. The purpose of this time is not for you. The purpose of this time is for God, as we lift up songs of praise to God. But a secondary effect it has on us, it begins to soften our heart to receive God's word. So let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, we thank you for our time and our small group studies where we were able to sit in a classroom and be transparent with one another. We thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for a church that's a busy, active church. Lord, as we have an entire page full of opportunities to serve and ministry outreaches, Lord, we're so thankful for that. And Lord, we just pray that that continues. We never want that to be a burden upon anyone. But Lord, we do want you to impress upon our hearts that we are to do good works to the glory of you. So we thank you for those multiple opportunities you give us here at Dallasburg. And Lord, we pray that as right now as we come and our musicians begin to prepare our hearts to receive your word, Lord, we pray that we're able to set aside the distractions of today, set aside the distractions that are coming next week, and to truly focus upon you right now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Let's stand and sing, Family of God. Sang this one, according to Steve. So this morning we were practicing. I was really bad on the tempo and the rhythm of this. So you all just, if you know it well, sing loud and proud, and the rest of us will follow along. Trials knock on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But he'll guide us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it 145, 11 through 13. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day that you've given us to come into your house, Lord, and be with our brothers and sisters and to learn more about you, and Lord, to be able to offer up praise to you this morning. And we thank you that you are faithful. Lord, you've promised us things, and you never let us down. You always stand faithful to us, Lord. And I pray that as we hear those words of yours, that we will go out into this world, Lord, and just shine for you, and that we will be your hands and your feet in this fallen world. Lord, I just pray for Michael as he's getting ready to come up in a few minutes, Lord, and give us your word today. Lord, just be with him and just give him the words, Lord, that we need to hear. And Lord, we just thank you for Michael. We thank you for his service, and we thank you for his dedication. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and it's in Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. This is actually the song that we had to sing for a while. I got messed up. So.
Passionate. Psalm 145, 14 through 15. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you and give them their food in due season.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for another day you allowed us to enter into and all the many blessings you continue to bless us with from day to day. Thank you for the freedom we've had to come here this morning to worship in our small groups and sing praises to your name. I ask you, Father, be with Michael this morning as he brings his word. It might be something we can take this week and be the witnesses you'd have us to be. Thank you, Father, for this time we can come back to give you back part of what you so richly blessed us with. Pray for you, your honor and your glory. In the name of Jesus I pray, amen.
All right, our children will head off to Children's Church. We pray for their time. I understand we have some Super Bowl champions with us going to Children's Church today, so we pray for them. Cooper, you're about to be late, man. You get there when you get there, right? Excellent. We're super excited again to have you all joining us this morning. Very thankful to have you. Something that I wanted to mention earlier, and I meant to mention it in our welcoming announcements, but just want to thank everybody for all of the food that you prepared last night for our celebration of life for Joyce Duvall. I know many of you made 1, 2, 3, 4 dishes. It was very well. It was delicious, I can add. I tasted a lot of your food. It was delicious. But one of the things that I really wanted to point out to everyone is that after the meal, and we had to bring chairs in here. It was so overwhelming, so many people here, that even when they finished their meal, the families, they hung out and they truly fellowshiped together out there, right? They were doing photo ops. You know, I saw Regina made it into a photo. No, you missed the photo op. Yeah, you missed it. They were saying that they took it after you left, and I was like, I don't know if that was on purpose or not, but just it was a great opportunity to see family fellowshipping together, and a long story short, that is exactly the reason we built that fellowship hall, It was served last night for the exact reason we built it, and it was just a reminder to me of how thankful I am to be a part of a church that, number one, is willing to support a family of a dear saint of ours that's been called home, but then also they were serving with joyful attitudes and spirits and out there, you know, slopping macaroni cheese around, and they were just doing it happily to serve people, and it was a really, really good thing. I know we were missing a lot of people. We're dining with dignity. I'm sure that went well last night. How many did you all serve? So 65. So 65 people last night received a meal. More importantly, they received the gospel last night. So a big chunk of our family was in Lexington serving. And so, long story short, I just want to say this. I'm just so thankful to be a part of a church that's a serving church. We're not lazy people. You all aren't pew setters. You don't just sit around. You're willing to get in there and do the work of the Lord, to get in there and get dirty. And man, I am thankful for that. I am so thankful for that. No one here thinks they're above working and serving, and that's a good thing, right? All right, now back to our regularly scheduled sermon. I just want to honestly be super transparent with you this morning. It was a late night last night, and apparently I forgot to charge my device, and so I'm preaching today with none of my notes. They're in my head. They should be in my head, but if it goes a little bit awry today, we're just going to blame it on technology not supporting it this morning, right? But that's okay. If a pastor should be able to preach this sermon pretty easy. We find ourselves in the book of Matthew, chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 18 through 25. Just a real quick recap last week in case someone wasn't able to be here. What we had done last week is we just stuck our toe in the water last week to introduce the book of Matthew, the purpose of the book of Matthew. We went through the genealogy of Jesus Christ, and you'll recall that we discussed that Matthew has one main overarching theme, and that is to present Jesus as the Messiah, the promised Messiah from the Old Testament that is shown time and time again in Old Testament scripture. And Matthew is primarily written to a Jewish audience. And that's why we have so much information beginning here with this genealogy, right? Showing that the Gospel of Matthew is showing that Christ is capable, because of his lineage, to be seen as king of the Messiahs as he comes from the line of David, right? And so that's what we discussed last week. And then we also talked about how we see grace in the genealogy, because I just be real honest, I think most of y'all probably skip this when you get to Matthew. I know for a large part of my life, I skip this. I'm like, I don't know how to pronounce half these words. I'm just going to skip this, right? But we see that even in the genealogy that Matthew records for us, right, this is the genealogy of Jesus, the Christ, right? We see all kinds of sinners in Jesus' genealogy, right? We see that Jesus was perfect, but his forefathers were not, right? His grandfathers and all these people in the line of David is that they are not perfect, right? But that Jesus still springs from them, and that Jesus is still able to save lost people, right? And so that's where we left off last. Probably most accustomed to hearing, I think I went dead, Steve. This technology is just failing today. Technology is tough. All right, I think I'm on. Huh? Not today, Satan, that's right. There you go, Brad. But then we start off today with a sermon that you're probably most familiar hearing at Christmas, right? This is a very, very common. So I went and looked. I didn't trust my counting. I actually was right. This isn't to concern anyone this morning. But as of this morning, there are 57 days remaining until we celebrate Christmas, right? And amen, that's right. You know, and so something that I want us to understand, right? I'm a big proponent of pre-deciding. Let's go ahead and decide how we're going to react in situations before we need to react in situations. Because if you're like me, my second and third thoughts are always better than my first thoughts. So we need, thank you, Jamie, we need to pre-decide right now, how are we going to handle Christmas this year? Are you going to let Christmas stress you out? Are you going to be fretting about, man, how do we pay for this? Like, you know, the kids got to have the newest, shiniest things. Let me just go and tell you something right now. Your kids don't have to have the newest, shiniest thing. Christmas isn't meant to be stressful. It isn't meant to be hard on you. You should not hate and resent Christmas. Christmas is a wonderful, beautiful thing that we have unfortunately let the consumer market steal from us. And we as Christians, man, we got to fight to take it back. And we got to focus and we got to see what it's truly about. I went and looked at some surveys, and the survey was done last year, and by the normal Americans, 42% of Americans think that Christians have lost the understanding of what Christmas is, right? And I was like, that seems low. I was disappointed at that number. I'm like, ah. But then you realize once you dug more into the research, that was just everyone, and a large percentage of those people aren't Christians. So then when they ask Christians, what percentage of Americans do you think have lost the purpose of Christmas? It was 84%. So 84% of Christians think that the world has lost the understanding of Christmas. You may have seen some of these videos before where they go to the street. Of course, they edit the video because they ask 100 people, and they just show the five craziest. But they really ask people, they're like, hey, what's the purpose of Christmas? And a lot of people, they just have no idea. No idea why we celebrate Christmas. The reason we celebrate Christmas, we find this morning in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. This is why we do Christmas, right? This is what it meant. Now, is it wrong to give gifts? Absolutely not. So don't hear me. If you heard me say that, I did not mean to say that. It's okay to give your kids gifts, but it's not the most important thing to do at Christmas. The most important thing to do is to be thankful that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, in the form of a baby to ultimately be what? The payment for our sins. That's how we celebrate Christmas. Let's read God's word. This is Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Dear God, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, we just ask that through your word and through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we're able to pre-decide this morning, to focus this morning, to understand what the celebration on December 25th truly is. It's not about gifts. It's not about gathering with people. It's not about going to parties. It's not about singing Christmas songs. And all those can be used to your glory, but the most important thing that we celebrate on that day is the birth of Jesus Christ. Because we who live in a blessed time have the fullness of Scripture, we know and we understand who Christ becomes. We understand that he lives a sinless life. We understand that he willingly goes to the cross on my behalf and on your behalf to become the payment for our sins, is then put in a tomb for 3 days, arises, is seen by thousands of people, eventually ascends to heaven and sits at the right hand of your throne right now, which then in turn gives us a living hope. Not just a blind hope, but a living hope. And so, Lord, we're so thankful for that. We're so thankful for this reminder. And Lord, we pray that through the conviction of the Spirit and the conviction of your word, we truly understand and appreciate what happened on that wonderful, blessed day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so we come to this bit of scripture, verse 18. What I want you to kind of think about here is virgin birth, right? That's a big deal. It's a really big deal. It's something that's really interesting in my research this week is that, you know, I really wasn't aware that any other religion claimed a virgin birth. But the reality is, tons of religions that are dead now, that no longer exist, that no one practices, claimed virgin births, right? It was a pretty, I wouldn't say a common thing thousands of years ago, but it was out there. But for us, this virgin birth really stands out. It's an amazing thing that jumps out at us. And the thing that really amazes me is that you would think there would be more verses in Scripture that talk about it, right? We did a big chunk of Scripture just talking about who Jesus's genealogy was, right? And it's important. It has its place in Scripture. It wouldn't be there. God wouldn't have inspired Matthew to record that for us. But you would expect there to be a lot more Scripture dedicated to this virgin birth. But just watch how plainly Matthew says it. Verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way, period. Right, that is the introduction to this amazing, wonderful thing. And I just want to go ahead and I'm a big proponent of managing expectations. Right, it's really important for us to know what we're getting into. And here's one of the things, and I think I shared it this morning in our Sunday school class, Facebook Sunday school class, is that if you're expecting for me to be able to answer to you, right, how God, through the Holy Spirit, that Mary was then able to have Jesus, I cannot tell you exactly how that happened. But all I know is what Scripture tells me, and that Scripture prophesies all the way back in the Old Testament and Isaiah that it would happen, right? And so the truth is this, is that a lot of times when we come to Scripture, we don't get technical specifications of how things happened. It doesn't say the Holy Spirit did it perfectly in this way or the Holy Spirit did it just like that. It just simply says it happened, and we have to have faith in that, right? And so a big part, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, Easter, and we talk about, you know, Christ going to the cross on our behalf and then being raised 3 days later, and we always sing Up from the Grave. It's a favorite song here. And so we focus heavily on Easter, but man, I would encourage you to realize, without Matthew chapter 1, Easter never happens. It's equally as important, right? And so we often talk about it as like, you know, are you trusting in Christ as your Lord and Savior? And we hope and pray that when people are elect and they're chosen by God, that they say yes to that. But they also have to accept a virgin birth as well, right? And it's something that we miss a lot in Scripture, and so you have to do a lot of digging in some extra biblical accounts. But man, this caused controversy from very early on in the early church, right? Is that a lot of people did not believe that this was possible. And you know why? It's a miracle, right? You studied last week in your Sunday school class, what are the purposes of miracles? Why do miracles happen? What are examples of miracles? This is a clear example of a miracle, something that happens outside the natural laws of man, right? And then a baby's born. Now, a lot of you have had the fortune to grow up on a farm or to be raised around livestock. You know, if you have a field full of cows and no bull, you don't get calves, right, JT? That's right. That's very simple animal husbandry. I take no classes in that, and I understand that very well, right? But we understand today is, man, we're talking about something special. It's huge. And I think often we miss how special this is. Right, and so even though Matthew doesn't give it a lot of fanfare, I thought about it and I prayed a lot about it this week, and I read a lot of other commentaries, and a lot of people don't really know why it's such a short little introduction there, but they think what the general thought is this, is that Matthew is this so resolute that that's what he believes. He's like, man, he says, this is the truth. It is what it is. It doesn't need a lot of me explaining it to it. And it's the same thing I'm going to tell you, and that's why I'm trying to manage your expectation. I cannot tell you exactly how it happened. All I can tell you is this. You either believe it or you don't. Right? You have two options. You either believe what Scripture says, and you trust in the fact that what Matthew was inspired by the Holy Spirit to record for us, that it either happened or it did not. I'm really thankful, and a lot of times I try to do this, and I've done it with myself before, is we try to reason with logic. Man, this exists outside of logic, right? This is something that is amazing, that's something special, and we have to really treat it as that. I continue. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Right? And so a little bit of information I think we need to share here. Betrothed, that's a word we don't use a lot anymore. Like when I asked Melissa to marry me, I never told anyone she's my betrothed. I never told anyone that, right? And so we have to see that the way that in this time, the way that the Jews would have entered into marriage is very, very different than what you and I have done in our lives, right? And so a betrothal is basically a contract. almost always arranged by parents, right? So this would have been an arranged marriage. And it's where dads and mothers of men and dads and mothers of daughters, they come together ahead of time and say, hey, we have a son. We would like to marry him to your daughter. Let's work this out. And you go through this process, and it's basically a contract you enter into. And so I think I had this written in my notes, is that betrothal is basically being married without living together and without consummating the marriage, and that's as PG as I'm going to keep it today, right? And so you figure that out. If you have questions, talk to Jim later. He will explain that to you, right? He'll be more than happy to explain what I mean by that to you, right? And so it's a really big deal. But what's really important for us to understand is that they have not, and that's what Scripture says, they have not known one another. I should quit using my hands before I make a gesture I don't want to make, right? They have not known one another, so she and Joseph have not consummated their marriage, right? And so one of the things that's super interesting is like, man, who is Mary, right? We talk about her all the time. We put her name out there. Who is Mary? Well, we don't know a ton about Mary, right? It's very likely she came from a very poor background, right? She was probably from Nazareth. We don't know that 100%, but more than likely she's from Nazareth. Comes from a very poor family. We know that she's kin to Elizabeth and she has a sister. And so we don't know a ton about her, but one of the things that we do learn about Mary is that she's incredibly humble and she loves the Lord. Now, we don't get this here in Matthew, but when we look at Luke, when we look at the birth story, which probably, when we get to December, I'll probably preach from Luke on this, right? So don't think that this is one and done. You'll get this again. Coming up very soon, you'll get it again. But in Luke, we see that when Gabriel, the angel, he's the messenger. Side note, who was Gabriel in Daniel? Also the messenger that brought messages to Daniel. He's the same guy. He's the same angel. He's not the guy. He's an angel, right, doing these things. And so he brings this message to her, and the first thing she says is, why have you chosen me? Right? Why? You know, she's just extremely humble. She understands who God is. She understands how special it is. She understands that interacting with an angel is not normal, and so this is a really big deal. But we see how humble she is. But the amazing thing that we see in Luke is that she never questions whether God can do this or not. And I just think that's amazing. She does question, why her? Right? And she does question, how can I have a child because I have not known a man, but she never says God can't do that. And I think that's a really important takeaway for us, a very easy application point for us this morning, is that we should emulate Mary in her faith. Now, should we worship Mary? Absolutely not, right? We worship Jesus, but we understand that her faith is amazing. Because number one, an angel comes to her, and she's not freaked out by that. Super rare in Scripture. Almost always in Scripture, when an angel shows up, what do? They hit the ground. And there's a reason for that, right? Is that it's an amazing thing. But her faith is amazing. So we move on here to Joseph. We know even less about Joseph. We basically know nothing about Joseph from Scripture. We know from the genealogy that we said we stopped there in the first part of the chapter. We know who his dad is. And we also know he's a carpenter. And that's basically it. But one of the things that we can learn from Joseph is we see he's betrothed to Mary, right? Verse 19, and her husband Joseph, who we don't know much about in Scripture, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So we see that Joseph is righteous, and he loves the Lord, and he also loves Mary. And so maybe you've came across this bit of Scripture before, and you've wondered, well, why does he want to do it quiet? Because if the person that I was betrothed to shows up pregnant, you're like, man, I want her to pay the price. Like, it's embarrassing for all of us. Well, it's because in Deuteronomy, the price of this is stoning. Mary would have been killed for this. And so he wants to divorce her quietly. And so when I was reading that, I was like, man, I want to make sure and understand this, is that you read that and you're like, man, that's a pretty severe punishment for adultery. Right? And it would have been considered adultery. That's why I told you betrothal means a lot. It's a lot more than our engagement process. It means a lot. It would have meant a lot more to them. And I'll be quite frankly, it's like our engagement process should mean more to us than it does. Right? It should be more like a betrothal than it is right now. But there's also a side that if a guy claims that and he's wrong, guess what happens to him? Yeah, he takes a beat down too. And so it's not just one-sided that it's just the lady has broken the betrothal, but if the husband accuses her of that, it's a problem for him as well. So it goes both ways. But Joseph wants to do this quietly because he doesn't want to see Mary killed, because he loves her and he cares about her. Something else that I wanted to point out to you is just through historical records, you know, quite often we see Mary and Joseph portrayed as a little bit older. They're probably a lot younger than you see them portrayed as. Probably somewhere around 15 or 16 years old is the age we're looking at here. Joseph is probably older than Mary. That was pretty common practice. So he's maybe an old man at 17. She's probably 15 or 16 years old. They got a lot going on. There's a lot happening in their young lives, right? But they remain faithful, right? And so we continue on here. He's unwilling to put her to shame. He resolved to divorce her quietly. Verse 20, but as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Let's just stop right there. So Joseph is like, hey, you know, Mary's been gone. At this point, she's probably around 3 to 4 months pregnant, because you'll remember from Scripture, she's been hanging out with her cousin, who is Elizabeth, right? And Elizabeth is the mother of John the Baptist, right? The guy who paves the way for Christ, begins preaching a message of repentance and turning away from sin. And so she's around 3 or 4 months pregnant. She shows up. Joseph says, can't be mine. I'm out of here, right? But I want to do it as quiet as I can. But then Gabriel comes to him in a dream and tells him, you need to have faith. You need to trust in the Lord. She is going to be the mother of the Savior of the world, right? And so what does Joseph do, right? And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife. And by taking his wife, what does that mean? Is they completed the betrothal process and they became married. Right, and so now they're married. And so, you know, I often think about this as a man and as a father and as a husband. Man, it would take a lot of faith to be okay with this, right? It would take a lot of faith to see your betrothed, you know, who you love the most, show back up and, you know, hey, by the way, Joseph, I'm pregnant, and it's the Holy Spirit, right? I'm going to be the mother of the Savior, right? As like, oh, yeah, sure you are. Like, somebody better check her wine. Something ain't right with that wine, right? You know, it would be hard to process and be okay with that. And I think we skip this all the time, right? Because tons of attention is given to Mary, and all the attention is, or the majority of attention is rightly given to Jesus. That's right. But, man, I think Joseph deserves some credit here, because his ability to trust in God is amazing. And I think there's a clear message for us as well. I think God could, 100%. God could send an angel to tell you something. He could do that. But primarily how God is going to speak to you is through his word. You read his word, it's going to tell us what to do. It's going to tell us how to handle things. I really dislike when someone says, just open your Bible, it's got all the answers. And I'm like, man, that is an oversimplification. I do believe the Bible has a complete roadmap of how to live your life in glory to God. I believe that with all my heart, and that's why I push as hard as I can for you to read it. But man, if you're wondering what to wear this morning, I cannot tell you what verse to go look at, right? Most of you are probably like me. You don't stress too hard about what to wear this morning, but some of you, maybe you do. And so it doesn't have every single minute answer for you, but it does tell you how to live a life glorifying the God. One of the most freeing things that we see in Scripture, and I remember the day that this happened to me as clear as anything, when I understood there are many correct paths in serving God. We often think that the way that the will of God in our life is like, imagine walking on a mountain, and it's like hill to toe. If I take one micro step to the left or one micro step to the right, I'm outside of God's will, and it's going to be a calamity. I just don't believe that's what Scripture teaches. There are clearly things that are wrong in Scripture, for sure. But when we're serving the Lord and we're trying to glorify him, there are many correct paths that we can walk down to share him. Maybe taking this job will glorify God. Maybe not taking this job and taking another one, glorify God. God gives you that ability to glorify him in many different situations. But I have some really good news for you. And it's not going to sound like good news at first, but I'm very thankful for this. If you make a decision that's outside of God's will, guess what God will do? He will correct that in your life. And you're saying that, you're like, well, that doesn't sound super exciting. And it usually doesn't when it happens. But man, how thankful should we be that God loves us so much that he continues to care for us and he continues to correct us of our behavior? I'm thankful for God's correction in my life. Maybe not at the time, but I'm always thankful for it. And I pray that you're thankful for it as well. It's very important for us to see here. And so we see what the importance of Mary's baby, of who Jesus is. We know that Jesus is a translation of the word, the name in Old Testament of Joshua, which means God saves, right? And so we understand this duality. That's a cute baby. We understand this duality of who Jesus in his name is. Jesus who saves, right? And then Christ, right? Which I told you last week how dumb I was as a kid. I thought Christ was his last name for a large portion of my life. It's a title. It's not his last name, right? Is Christ who he is? It means anointed. It means Messiah, right? God who saves the Messiah. That's what his name means. Which brings us all the way back to the Old Testament. If you're an Old Testament person, the gospel according to Matthew is your gospel, because there's more Old Testament references than any other gospel, and that's because he's preaching to a Jewish audience. But we understand who Jesus is, right? It's God saves, he's the Messiah, but then it also says Emmanuel, right? Which means what? God with us. Right now, I say this all the time with myself and Raphael, and it definitely, I didn't call Lucy up and say, hey, can we sing this song because it means this, but we sang that song, God came down, right? We sang that this morning in one of the songs, right? This is what Emmanuel means, God with us. And this is something that I think we miss a lot. And so many of us just take this for granted because a lot of you have either been raised in church, but even if you have been raised in church and you weren't blessed with godly parents, I'm right there with you, and you weren't blessed with that, you still have a pretty good working knowledge of a lot of theology. Way more than you think you have, right? You would do really well in a lot of tests. And so I think a lot of times we take this for granted because most religions, their gods never interact with them. All they do is send down lightning bolts. Or they impregnate women in very weird, ungodly ways. They just do some crazy stuff. I recommend don't go and read any of that stuff. But our God came with us, walked among us. And one of the things that's amazing, when God put on flesh, you know why that's so amazing? That when you sit and you pray and you talk to Jesus, he's experienced everything you've experienced, right? He's experienced rejection. Yep. He's experienced suffering. You believe it. Right, we talked about this morning in our Sunday school class, suffering, and it's a great thing. I wish we had four lessons in a row to discuss it. Right, we talked about suffering. You don't think Jesus understands your suffering? You don't think Jesus understands rejection? You don't think Jesus understands people being mad at him? You don't think Jesus understands being ostracized? Everything you've experienced, Christ experienced it as well. But the amazing thing is what? Christ handled it perfectly. And so we don't have, like other religions have, we don't have these gods that have lived in ivory towers, supposedly, and have never interacted with sinful people. No, man, we worship a God who understands us completely. Not only because he created us, right? God is the uncreated creator. Not only that, but because Jesus experienced it firsthand. It's an amazing thing that I think oftentimes we just glaze over and we just miss. And we're like, oh, yeah, Jesus, yeah, he's God in flesh, and he walked around and did a lot of cool things. And, man, don't miss that. Don't miss the amazing reality. There's also this, that for us to process this, is that, you know, God exists where there's no sin, right? God can't be around sin. We understand that. But that God willingly put on sinful flesh, right? To put on, not his sin, he didn't call sin in flesh, but put on flesh like the rest of us to come and walk the earth, as the song says, in ridicule and shame. He came for us because he loves us. And so it's just an amazing bit of truth that I think we often skip and miss is that we don't understand the level that God loves us, and it's most perfectly displayed in the birth of Jesus Christ. I think quite often we always say, if I ask that question, you say it's the cross. And I wouldn't say you're wrong in answering that. I wouldn't say that was a wrong answer. I personally believe, I think it's in the birth of himself as Jesus is where we see the love. Is that he cared so much, he came in flesh to not only do everything that Christ did perfectly, but then ultimately also went to the cross. But without a Christmas morning, there is no Easter evening. And it's really important for us to link those two things together, right? I also was in my research on the stats of Christmas from last year. One of the ones that I came across was there's a big debate of when you can and cannot put your Christmas tree up. I didn't realize this was so hotly debated topic, but apparently, man, people get mad over this. The overriding theme is that you can't do it before Thanksgiving. Right, that is the overriding, is something like 90% of people think you cannot put your Christmas tree up before Thanksgiving. And I was like, okay, I didn't know people thought about this, but they do. But the one that really struck my attention is like, when do you have to take your Christmas decorations down? Right? Some of you may live in subdivisions that have HOAs, and they tell you what you can and can't do. And so this is a big thing that they discuss in there. And most of them agree it's the first week of January is when your Christmas decorations could come down. Now, at our house, I mean, we're pushing Valentine's Day. Like, we might be hanging hearts on our tree in our house, right? It stays up for a while. And I really thought about that, and I meditated on that some. And I think I know why. It's because we love Christmas, right? We love Christmas. We love the feeling it produces in us. And I think that's a good thing. So if you want to leave that tree up, you leave it up, man. If it reminds you of who Christ is and what Christ did for you, because not because he had to, but because he loves you, man, leave it up. And so, of course, the article did not go into that, but I believe that's probably a big part of it for us as Christians, is that a lot of us understand what Christmas is and understand the value it has. But that being said, is, man, we have to resist. We have to resist commercialization. We have to push back against it. We can't let the world steal this away from us, this amazing event. A very important secondary role of what we have here in Matthew, what's discussed here, and you see that in verse 23. I've already read it for you once, referencing back to Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. You know, one of the important things that we understand here about the birth of Christ is that, man, this has been prophesied about thousands of years before. Right, so Isaiah was given this knowledge through the Holy Spirit. Other Old Testament prophets had talked about the Messiah would come. And one of the things that's pretty amazing is they knew the Messiah would come in an amazing way. Now, clearly, if they had read Scripture, they would understand that it was from a virgin. But there was a big misunderstanding by a lot of Pharisees and what they thought. And they knew it would be something special, but they weren't sure it was a virgin. But one of the things that I wanted to point out for us this morning, some of the things that they got wrong about who the Messiah would be. Number one is, and I think most of us, unless you've lived in a war-torn country, and maybe some of you have, I don't know everyone's backstory perfectly, but we wouldn't understand what it's like to live under the Roman persecution like the Jews were living under. It's a level of just anger that it would be difficult for us to process because the Romans told them what to do, when to do it, and how they should do it. And the Jews had no other way but to do it. So one of the main things the Jews wanted in their Messiah is they wanted him to be a warrior. They wanted him, and I always jokingly, this is not scripture, I say this, they wanted him to show up on a white camel with a sword and start chopping off Romans' heads. They wanted someone who would show up and run Rome out of the country and reestablish the nation of Israel as it was back when Joshua moved into the land of Canaan. That's what they wanted. But what they got was something very, very different. And this is one of the reasons they missed who Christ was. And I think it's important for us to understand this, is Christ didn't come to conquer physical battles, right? Christ came to conquer hearts. And that's an important thing for us to understand, is that, man, he is fighting battles, but it's not on battlefields. It's internally in our hearts, right? We talked about, 2 weeks ago, we talked about miracles in our Sunday school lesson, is that, I mean, if you have a regenerated heart, If you've been chosen by God, if you're one of the elect, a miracle has happened in your life. Your heart has been transformed to where now you are capable of doing good. You're capable of glorifying God. And this is a hard lesson, and so many people don't like to hear this, but man, I don't care. I'll say it because it's the truth, is that before you know Christ, you're not doing anything good according to Scripture. You might be doing some good things according to the world compared to other people, but not compared to Christ. And so you've experienced a wonderful miracle in your heart. You have a transformed heart. And why is that able to happen? All because of what we read this morning in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, is because God came to earth as Christ, and he is conquering hearts, right? One of the things that, and I shared with earlier, one of the things that the Israelites at the time got really wrong about Jesus is they thought he would establish a new nation of Israel and they would be super powerful. The truth is they were close to being right on that, is that Christ one day will establish a new heaven and a new earth where things are going to be perfect and things are going to be right. That's one of the hopes that we rest in, and we hold on to that, and that's what we look forward to, is that one day that's all going to be set right. I read something this morning. One of my favorite theologians, Paul Washer. If you know who Paul Washer is, I mean, you think that I cut things straight to the truth. You have no idea how truth this dude gets the truth. And this is what he said in one of his most recent sermons. If the truth is this, whether it be 25 years, 50 years, 75 years, depending on when, we got some kids out here, we're all going to face Jesus someday, right? We're either going to stand in front of him when we die, or we're going to stand in front of him when he comes again. And we need to understand what that effect is going to be. When we stand in front of Jesus, he's either going to stand up as our advocate, or he's going to stand up and say, I never knew him/her. And that's what we need to understand. And that's one of the things that the Pharisees got very wrong. Right? They didn't understand that it took a transformed heart. They didn't understand what it meant to be obedient to God's word and to submit to authority. They didn't understand that. And so many of them, they don't know Jesus. Still to this day, many Jewish people refuse to accept Christ for who he is. But I pray this morning that those of us that are here, that we've experienced that miracle, that our hearts have been transformed, so you have the confidence that when you stand in front of Christ, right, when you stand in front of him, he will be able to stand up and say, you are right, he or she is guilty of those sins that you've read, but my payment on the cross covers their sins. And so I pray that that's what you're trusting in this morning. I also pray that we don't lose sight of in 57 days, and it's going to happen a lot sooner. I went in Lowe's the other day, dude, the trees are already up and the music's already playing. They're already trying to remove those dollars from your pockets, right? They're already trying to get you to focus on something other than what Scripture is having you to focus on. Again, play Christmas songs. I love Christmas music too. Put up Christmas trees. I love Christmas trees too. But all that stuff is tertiary compared to what Scripture is teaching us about who Scripture is. I mean, who Jesus is. It's very important for us to understand that. It's very important for us to have faith and hope in that. And it was really important in Jesus' time to understand that. It's equally as important for us today to understand who that is, who Jesus is and what he's done. Let's pray. Dear God, I want to thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I should have mentioned this earlier, but I'm so thankful that we are a singing church. I love to be here Sunday morning and have people sing. Somebody like me who can't stay on key, you know, it's rough some mornings, but I know there's many people here that cover that up for me, and I'm so thankful for them. Lord, I'm just thankful for your word. Lord, I just ask that you continue to impress upon us through the Holy Spirit, through the reading of your word, what Christmas is, why we celebrate it, why it's so important. Lord, we need to understand without Christmas, there is no Easter. There is no Resurrection Sunday without December morning. So we thank you for that truth, Lord. We just ask that we are able to push back against the commercialization of this holiday. We just ask that we are able to stay focused on you, to not let the world convince us of something different. Lord, we're also thankful for your love and your mercy, that as you came down to walk the earth in ridicule and shame, that you did it perfectly because you love us. Lord, it's just a concept that is so out there, it's just really hard to get our heads wrapped around. We've never experienced it, and I don't care what anyone says, you've never experienced love like this in your life, the love that you have for us. And so, Lord, let us understand how special that is. And let us be thankful for that. Let it drive us to humility as we try as best we can to show love to others. Lord, we just pray that that emanates out of us because we understand you love us, which then gives us the ability to love others. So, Lord, we thank you for that truth. And, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the activities that are happening right now in other areas of the church as people are serving our youth and our children. We thank you for that. And, Lord, we just ask that you continue to impress upon us just how blessed and thankful we should be for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wanted to mention one thing. I'm really used to Raphael walking up here, and he's a lot heavier footed than Lucy. I turned around, I was like, oh, Lucy's already up here, right? Like a ninja, man, just move around so quiet. I didn't know you were up here. So thankful for Lucy in leading us this morning and our musicians for playing for us. It's something I'm very thankful for. It's something that I am not blessed with, but I'm so thankful that we're blessed with so many people that can do that. So thank you for doing that. Again, I want to invite everyone to the fundraising meal. I'm stuffed up. I can't smell it, but I'm confident you all can smell it. And so can you smell it, JT? A little bit? Okay, that's good enough. So join with us. Let's go out there and let's have some fellowship. Again, we pray that you come back tonight. We would love to give your kids lots of candy and then send them home with you. That's what we would love to do that, right? Get them hopped up on the sugar and you take them home. We would love to do that tonight, help you all with that. It's sanctification. You'll grow in your patience of your kids, right? Again, we would love to have you back. We'd love to have you back next week, man. I believe this with all my heart. Man, we're a family here. We care about one another. We take this real. And, man, we'd love to have you be part of our family as well, right? JT, will you pray for us and pray for the food so whoever's first can start eating?